The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good morning. Hello, Scott Solar.
Morning, Beetle. How you doing? Look at you, all rejuvenated.
Good.
Look at him, Jim. Like a fresh meat.
Let's preface this conversation with something.
Okay.
I typically don't give a damn about the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I'd love to preface it with this. I can't stand the Pro Bowl.
I'll never watch it.
I will never watch it. I actually used to watch it a little bit when it was in Hawaii because I liked the scenery. Now you're going to shove it down our throats the week before the Super Bowl and stick it in different cities?
It's
no, thank you.
It's a terrible product.
It's an awful product.
It's not about the game. In fact, the game is horrible. I do not watch it. I think it should actually be eliminated.
It's about the honor.
It is.
It's one of the things. Hey. The guys that I play with that got voted into it, they loved it. First of all, they did it right because it was in Hawaii. So you got a full all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii smack in the middle
of February. Do you know what I used to like? I used to like more than the Pro Bowl. Skills competition.
Yeah.
You know, those quarterback competitions.
Sure. Marino and those guys.
Akers and Vinatieri kicking field goals. Like, that stuff was kind of fun.
Yeah,
that
Brett Favre throwing it 77
yards. Yes.
Might not hit the side of a
absolutely.
Barn, but yeah.
How far can you check the football stuff? You know, like a battery toss.
Pro Bowl
that
means,
stuff was entertaining.
The Pro Bowl means stuff to players. It does. It does because this is the fan and the player vote. This is your peers.
But this is what I want to say about it. As irrelevant as it seems to us as fans,
yeah,
and as bad of a product as the Pro Bowl is every single year, and it's not worth your time to watch it, avoid that at all costs.
Yep, many people do.
The honor...
They still do. It does do a good rating.
The resume item. This is what I want to say. The resume item counts for something.
Yeah,
it does. Say you were a Pro Bowler. That's it. Just to have it as being voted. And in recent years, this has been really watered down.
Because
what happens is, you know, the Super Bowl teams don't participate. Guys don't want to go, so they opt out of going. And then you start naming a bunch more players.
That doesn't count.
Because they need to fill out the roster for the game itself.
No.
That sucks because guys get Pro Bowl nods that don't really...
Hashtag.
It just, or
asterisk.
It dilutes what it means in the first place.
It's the original vote.
So
it's the original vote.
It.
The guys
Today.
That are there now.
The information
right now.
We got yesterday.
Yes.
That's the original vote, and that is what counts.
That's what counts.
There may be more Patriots that get picked as replacements in the Pro Bowl.
That
doesn't count.
Nope.
But I just want to say this. I think the Patriots have a legitimate gripe, and Julian Edelman has the biggest gripe on the team. For not being named as a Pro Bowler.
Well, I thought it was Van Noy, because I thought Van Noy is your second-best defender. And I no offense to Dante Hightower, and it's a credit to him that he got voted in. I thought Van Noy would have been a shoe-in the type of year he had. And then you go and you actually look at Edelman's stats, and we've done this the last couple weeks. Like, and I even brought up, like, hey, guys, Julian Edelman is quietly having the best year of his career. But it just doesn't seem like that, feel like that, because he's been managing injuries. He hasn't broken away. You know what I mean? He hasn't had the big catches and runs. He hasn't had the punt returns like he's had in other years. This guy at his age is coming off an MVP of a Super Bowl where he carried you in that game against the Rams. And he's having the best year of his career. And nobody recognizes it. That's a shame. And these guys don't care. They want to play in the Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. But you mean to tell me it doesn't mean something like him, McCourty? You think Devin's not playing at a high level? You know, Van Noy, Jesus. And we could even throw Jamie Collins in there with the first half of the year he had. Yeah. There's a couple guys got screwed.
Okay, this is why it matters. Because when you get to the end of your career, and many of you think Julian Edelman belongs in the Hall of Fame, and many of you mistakenly believe he actually has a shot to get in, he doesn't have a single Pro Bowl to his resume.
It's amazing. People are bitching because Brady.
Not a single one.
First time Brady hasn't made it.
The Pro Bowl sucks, as do I.
Yeah.
But the voters, this is one of those resume items along with All-Pro, which is the best honor.
All-Pro is
the best one to have for your resume.
That's a big boy one.
Pro Bowl doesn't hurt. Edelman doesn't have any of those.
Nope. And people are bitching because first time Brady hasn't gotten in since 08. Brady does not deserve to go in this year. He does not deserve to be a Pro Bowler this year. But Jesus Christmas, 12 Ravens?
That is absurd.
12 Ravens?
12 Pro Bowlers.
That's the type of team that gets punched in the mouth divisional round, I'm telling
Why?
You.
Why? What does the Pro Bowl have to do with them in the divisional round?
They love themselves. They're just the high-flying Ravens, man. Showtime, baby. High-flying Ravens.
I think they've been incredibly humble. They've been almost Patriot-like. And they're not high flying.
They
run the ball and shove it down your throat.
The quarterback.
And they play decent defense. The quarterback, like
humble? The quarterback has been humble. The rest of the team has not been humble.
See Mark Ingram all year?
No, that's true. But I look at the quarterback. That's a guy who
quarterback
should be setting
has been
the tone.
Humble.
That's
I give
a humble
you that.
Guy.
Absolutely.
That's not a guy that's.
He deserves every accolade.
Thank you.
The rest of them? Jesus.
Yeah, Ingram's the guy who's been up on the podium saying MVP, MVP, whoop, right? Whoop, that's been his whole thing.
Yep.
Come see me. Big trust.
He's
come
been
see
pumping, me. Pumping up the MVP
come
vote.
Come see me out of the parking lot. I'll show you. Yeah, whoop, whoop. Yeah, that guy. Whoop, whoop.
I don't even know what that means.
That's his press conference. Whoop, whoop. MVP.
Tell me how that goes
LJ,
again.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. Come meet. Jim, find it. Find the first one he was running his mouth. Y'all come meet me out of the parking lot. I'll tell you what it is. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Whatever the hell that means. I'm not down with the kids. You know what I mean? That's one of them kid stuff.
I can watch you do that all day.
Do it all day. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
I got something now, huh? It's the W. I don't know. I don't know if it's with the whoop.
Oh, okay.
Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
Woo,
woo. Woo, woo. Woo, woo.
It's that woo, woo.
Woo, woo.
The whistle go woo.
Woo, woo.
Big trust. Woo woo. Yep. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Big trust.
Jarvis Landry got in, right?
Yes. Tyreek Hill got in with 48 catches, 48 receptions. He didn't play.
Jarvis Landry, 74 catches for 1,018 yards. Five touchdowns, 74, 10, 18, and 5.
And what's he do? Oh, he
Edelman?
Gets there, too. Get us out of here.
Edelman, 92 catches, 1,019 yards. So he's a lot less in terms of yards
flashy,
per reception.
Not flashy like those guys.
Yeah. And six touchdowns, more yards, more touchdowns, more catches. When the voting took place, Landry was at 69, 995, and five touchdowns. Not a huge difference. And Edelman was already at 90. Over 1,000 yards and six scores.
Woo, woo.
And Edelman's been hurt all year.
Yep.
But he did not get the nod. That's a legitimate gripe for Julian Edelman. And I think you're right. I think either Van Noy or Collins have a gripe, too, about not getting one.
I think
someone in there.
Based on social media, too, you can tell it bugs Van Noy. I think McCourty got bugged a little bit by their posts. And hey, congratulations to our guys, but damn. Three guys. And one is a special teamer. The number two seed, 11th straight year. This is a change in the way people view this team. This is, we're tired of y'all. We need fresh blood.
How much had to do with last week, though? Because Brady was late, right? We were told Brady was late to the podium. We were supposed to have him Friday. We didn't have him Friday because they were doing Pro Bowl voting.
Right.
Last week, the videotape story came out. Did that have any impact on any players in the locker room that voted, you think?
No. No. I don't know. It does on the national media, so why wouldn't it nationally to other teams, right?
I'm just wondering. I mean, that's when the voting took place.
And is the three players getting in for the Patriots some sort of, and the 12 for the Ravens, is there some sort of changing of the guard going on here?
I mean, they're really happening, but
someone's trying to force that. The league collectively is trying to force that.
Yeah, enough.
That
this
is the year the Patriots finally die.
Yeah.
Is that the message they're trying to send?
No
with
Brady,
this?
No Edelman.
Right.
Yeah.
Brady could be gone next year. This could be his last year there. Edelman's getting older. He's breaking down. No, we're not putting that guy in the Super Bowl. He's toast, as is that team. Is that sort of the mentality and attitude of everyone involved in the NFL? Players, fans, everything. Is that what's going on?
Feels like it.
It felt that way yesterday.
You felt the disrespect. You felt the disrespect yesterday. You did when it came down. I expected about five guys to be in. I look at it as really two positional players. I know Slater deserves to go. He's in a different category.
Yeah, he's sort of like an automatic special team. Like he's going to get in.
Yeah.
What's that whoop thing again?
Woo woo.
617-779-0985.
Woo woo. Woo woo.
It's that woo woo.
Woo woo.
Whatever it is, the Patriots and their players should take it that way.
Yeah.
That it's a blatant sign of disrespect from the league.
It's good. Good little shot in Armas time here.
To boost their attitude about things.
Right on.
Going forward the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
And use it to their advantage. This, to me, is something the players will find an edge in. Whoop, right? Whoop, that's been his
whoop,
whole thing.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Come here. Jim, find it.
Find an edge in this. This is something I can buy in on them finding an edge with. Not what's played out with the camera stuff over the last couple of weeks. I don't think the players care about that.
They do.
This feels like they care about this one. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on that? Also, Bill Belichick on his quarterback situation and specifically his backup, Jared Stidham, who's been getting a lot of reps in practice. Why don't we get to that coming up right after this?
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I'm just curious, we've seen Tom obviously on and off the injury report. I'm wondering how the other quarterbacks that are on the roster have handled practice, if Tom has had to miss any time.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are always ready to go, and it's an opportunity for them. It's hard to practice three quarterbacks, but and there have been a couple examples where Tom hasn't been able to do a lot this year, so that's given Stid an opportunity to go with the first group and run our plays and run our offense, and that's been good for him. It's given Cody an opportunity to run more of the scout team plays because Jarrett's not taking those. So it's, and again, quarterbacks are always looking for more work.
Two pairs of Patriots tickets to give away today, 11:30
two.
And 1:30.
Woo, woo.
Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Bills, Patriots tickets, 11:30 and 1:30 today here on Zolak and Bertrand.
The next time you hear
for that.
The next time you hear woo, woo, that's when we're going to open up the phone.
Well, no, because you're bound to say that 14 times.
I'm not going
to
do it. I got to keep my
between
mouth shut.
Between now and 11:30.
I got an hour. Keep my mouth shut. You know what, Jim? Don't go outside the box with the Christmas music stuff, too. Don't overthink it.
Why? That was a nice one. Upbeat? No, I like it.
Nope.
Instrumental?
That musical.
Was that's
it?
For Stid.
Two musicals.
It's for Stiggy.
Is that for Mannheim Steamroller? Was that what that was?
Yes. That's Jim like nodding
that.
Yes.
I don't even like that name.
Sounds like a concert Beatle would go to.
Trying too hard.
Check it out.
There you go.
I'd check it out.
Maybe his wife could cry at that
Hardy, Hardy, you can't. You got to go see things that you probably aren't going to love. You just got to do it. You got to broaden your horizons.
But don't you
my friend.
Know enough about Celine Dion to know whether or not you're going to love that?
Well, it wasn't my first Celine Dion show,
of course.
It was my second Celine Dion show. The first time.
When you're a roadie,
first time
like they are?
Was in Vegas
right.
many years ago, like 8 years ago. Yeah. I had already done the experience once. Yeah. So it's all right, Hardy. Someday you'll go to something that you don't like.
I have. His kids
say, this is not something I'm a huge fan of.
You sent me pictures
or something
of your kids,
I love, but I'm going to go anyway. And maybe I'll like it. Maybe I'll enjoy myself for a couple of hours.
But that stupid concert you had to go to a couple weeks ago. The kids' concert.
I know that. I actually enjoy those. I like the kids' concerts.
Oh, come on, Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, it's better than ballet recitals.
Oh, well, yeah.
I had to go to my sister was in ballet forever, and I had to go to those. And then the dude comes out, and he starts dancing. And I'm like, my mother's got my mouth covered.
I'm sorry, what? What's the matter?
I got scarred by those. I had to go to so many recitals. My sisters.
What was his issue?
I don't know.
This big dude starts dancing in between them, and like he comes out. We didn't know that. I didn't know that. She didn't warn me on that one. don't say anything. I don't want to say anything.
Oh, yeah, you never say anything.
Not at all.
Never. So Stidham, getting a lot of reps in practice.
Stid. Was that coach?
Did you hear that?
Was he a hockey coach now?
Stiggy.
I mean, that's what he calls me. He called Jimmy.
He's got a little pet name.
He never said Garoppolo.
He's Stid.
He always say Jimmy.
Hey, Stid.
Stid.
Do you know Bill's the only one
that calls
him Tom? I
picked up on that right away. I'm like, oh, boy.
Do you ever listen to the coaches talk about Tom? It's Tommy. Like Charlie.
Charlie does.
Or
Bill doesn't.
Scott Pioli.
Bill doesn't.
Bill goes, Tom. Tom. It's not Tommy. Everybody else call him Tommy. Tommy. Yeah.
He calls Jarrett Stidham Stid. He's watching him get meaningful practice reps right now because Brady is not doing as much as he typically would be because he's banged up and he's got a bad elbow from what we can tell. And so what do you think's going on there right now as Belichick watches Stid? What do you think he's doing?
Stid.
Do you think he's just, hey, making sure Stidham's ready for Buffalo? Or do you think Stidham is out there taking practice reps that Bill is watching and scouting and analyzing and thinking to himself, can this guy play in this league next year? It's got to be the latter. It's got to be him doing a full.
This is kind of like when Jimmy, remember when he would talk about Jimmy picking up with Tom when Tom went practice and how seamless those practices were. Like, it's like Tom never left. They like Stidham. I know they like Stidham.
And they've kept Cody Kessler around to continue to be the third string quarterback and get the scout reps, as Bill Belichick talked about. Kessler is taking care of that. Stid taking care of the main duties. Brady, well, he's doing whatever he's doing. Stid, full-on Stid assessment right now going on in practice for the Patriots. That's how I read it. And the fact that he's got a little short name for him, Stid.
Well, now that came out, I hope we hear how he's doing in practice. I'm curious now. What's he doing?
Do you think we'll
regardless
find
of the Brady situation,
yeah,
how's the kid doing in practice against?
He flat out told you that Kessler's taking the scout team, so Stid is getting all the ones, which is interesting.
All right, here's Mike Giardi from Good Morning Football, and I also want to get to an email that I got after the press conference yesterday with Bill Belichick from Ted Weymouth, who's got a take on this.
Oh,
got to hear this, but okay. Here first, Mike Giardi.
Quarterback's getting more work because of Tom Brady's right elbow injury. He did admit there have been times this year where Brady's been limited in practice. He never says that kind of stuff. But it goes to show you that what we saw on Sunday with Brady, as I was trained on him in the pregame, flexing that right elbow out between every throw he made in warmups, that this is an issue. And it's been an issue long before it first popped up on the injury report prior to that Dallas Cowboy game in late November. In fact, at least a month longer than that. And Brady has really struggled over the last five games. Hasn't completed more than 55.3% of his passes. That's crazy for Tom Brady. You know he'll show up and play, but you just don't know how effective he's going to be at this point between the elbow and obviously the issues that they've had at wide receiver.
One hit to that elbow, and you have Stidham in the game right now.
Well, maybe that's...
Warm up the shuttle bus.
Maybe that's Bill, Maybe that's Bill from a mental standpoint. Telling everybody, hey, and the team knows that God forbid if something happened to Tom, we're okay because this kid's been getting to work, and he's been working his tail off, and he wants to work.
Before Dallas.
It's a confident thing, right?
Are you ready?
It's 5 weeks
before
Dallas. Did we know that?
Like Bill didn't say that Tom's missed.
No, we didn't know that.
Time here and there. He's like, there's been times Tom can't do anything, right? Didn't he say that?
Maybe so knew it.
What's that?
What Jim was just talking about.
GR just said before Dallas.
The elbow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'd say well before Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Well before Dallas.
How well? Like 2018?
No, this year.
So the elbow has been a chronic problem.
It's been bugging him.
Hasn't gone away. Still an
issue. I thought he just got hit by a helmet.
No, that was the latest one with Smith.
So it was already a problem, and then he got hit on the elbow.
Jones, not Smith.
Is that what we're saying? It was an issue?
No, he got a bruise from Jones.
So it was an issue. And now
no, this is an internal elbow thing, right? This isn't a bruise. This is an internal ligament or something.
Well, no,
right?
Now there's both. Internal ligament issue. Now there's a bruise on it as well from a exterior blow.
Well, like you said, Brady even talked about last week. I know they're going to put it on the report, so might as well talk about him, and I need double the treatment. Yeah, being here all week.
And then there's this, as Mike Giardi said, Bill Belichick never says this. It's almost like there's a building of a narrative here that Brady's breaking down. You know, Brady's getting old. Brady's not looking good. Here's what Ted and Weymouth wrote me yesterday. Strap yourself in for this one, so. He says, Belichick benches Brady in Buffalo game if Brady struggles again and puts in Stidham. Belichick will cite Brady missing time at practice, injury, and need to spark offense. If Stidham plays well, he starts against Miami. In the playoffs, Brady probably starts, but if he struggles, Belichick will put Stidham in, assuming he plays well in that Miami game. If Brissett was still here, Belichick would have benched Brady and put Brissett in to start the second half of the Cincinnati game. The only reason Stidham hasn't gotten a chance to get the offense going is he's inexperienced. If Garoppolo or even Brissett were here, Belichick would have already benched Brady. Brady has struggled in the last five games. It's coming to a point where Belichick needs to see if Stidham can spark the offense, even with the higher risk for turnovers with his inexperience. Inexperience in the backup QB is the only thing keeping Brady in there. Brady is a legend, but five straight games of struggling warrants a quarterback change on any team for anyone. That's my take, Ted and Weymouth.
Yeah. What's your reply to that? Did you reply?
I didn't reply. I didn't reply.
I should probably reply to that one.
I can forward this email over to you. And you
no,
can
I'm good.
You want to reply to Ted?
I'm nauseated as it is.
No. Ted and Weymouth is seeing a quarterback change.
You watch that Saints game the other night? You see that pocket for Breeze? The amount of area he has to step and throw and sit and look left and look right and scan. A nice round pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter
the
who
way
you put
it should
there.
Be.
Yeah.
I do wonder this, though.
If Brady had that pocket, was struggling the way he is with that pocket, nobody's around him or touching him.
Yeah.
That would be.
I just wonder how Bill thinks about it, where he sits there and goes, you know what?
Bill knows the
sometimes,
whole thing.
Sometimes your offensive line is not going to be great. Sometimes you just are going to have to roll with what you have. They've tried to bring in a lot of guys up front to fill in for the injuries that they've suffered, right? I mean, they've tried to sign guys in the offseason. They've signed guys in season. All of that has happened. I wonder if he looks at it and he at all feels like, you know, some years you're not going to have a great offensive line. But if we had a younger quarterback, like, and not to say that this would be right, but just that his thought is, well, if I put Stidham in there, Stidham's going to be able to run around. He's going to be able to outrun some guys. He's going to be able to move just because he's younger and faster and quicker, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there that thought to it? That the quarterback, depending on who's back there, could somehow be better at avoiding the rush.
I mean, that would be if Bill had tunnel vision. He just looks at the quarterback. See, Bill knows the whole drill. He knows what the issues are. You know, he gave the formula to win, right? Run the football, play good defense, make them turn it over. We protect the ball, play good special teams. That's a good formula to win. That'll serve us well moving forward.
Because I think what part of the problem is, remember how after Garoppolo got drafted, Brady sort of recommitted himself and became better at moving behind the line of scrimmage.
Moving in the pocket, yeah.
Right?
But it's more extending the plays. It's not
for that very purpose.
Yeah, it's not.
But you know what he had? He had guys who could adjust and make plays. He had guys who would get open and make adjustments down the field. Now he doesn't have it, and so the skill is almost like
he also had tackles. He also had tackles that were adept enough that when you got beat and all of a sudden Tom slides up, they'd stay with it and still stay with the block. Some of these now are like just cold bird hits. How many throwaways based off
right?
We didn't even throw it away. Well, no, I'm talking about where he's dropping back. You see a rusher coming, he just throws it in the ground.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, that too.
That's
but how many times have you seen him roll out and have to throw it away in the end anyway?
Yeah, nobody.
All that work and all that running around just to have nobody there.
Got to win. Got to be able to win. Got to win on the outside.
Whereas if you got a younger kid in there, all of a sudden he rolls out, there's nothing there, he takes off for 5 yards every time.
Get your head knocked.
Of course you do, but there are guys in the league that are doing that now.
Yep. Put him in then. Put him in on Saturday. See how it goes.
I'm not for putting him in.
Yeah, see that crowd reaction.
I'm not for any of this. I'm firmly against that.
We're on the road.
I want Tom Brady in
there.
We're
on the road in one of Brady's worst games in Cincinnati, and there's a Brady chant going on throughout the entire stadium on one of his worst games. Not like, hey, he threw for 4 touchdowns, 400 yards. You know, we've had those before.
I am firmly in the Brady camp.
Boston's home for sports.
Zolak and Burke.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green.
Josh Gordon was suspended by the NFL a couple of days ago. Since the day he was cut, I've been asking for the reason why the team cut him. Why did the Patriots cut this guy? Why did the Patriots cut this guy? Why did they IR him and then let him go? What happened? There had to be something that happened there. Then he gets suspended again by the NFL. Is that the definitive reason why the Patriots cut him, is what I wonder. Did they know? Which is possible. It's possible they knew a suspension was coming. And that's why they did it.
I think they saw there was an old pattern starting to develop again. Running late.
That would make sense. So they saw something
was not right.
Behaviors that they thought were him going down the path of the same path he went down last season, by the way, here in New England. The same path he's gone down every year in this league outside of his rookie year.
Bill Price said, we're gonna do it now. We're not going to wait until last game of the year when he decides to do it. Or, you know, so to speak. Like he did last year. You know, boom. But now they went on one hell of a run.
Well, that would make sense. That would be a legitimate reason to move on from Josh Gordon. We see this going down the same path that went down last year.
How many plays was he making prior to it, too? I mean, it's not like it's not like they cut him and traded him.
Oh, he put him on IR. I'll tell you, he was on pace for 53 catches, which would place him second among receivers on this team behind only Julian Edelman.
He was serviceable.
So that's, yes, yeah. Thank Slants. You. Yep. So let's not make this guy out to be trash like so many Patriot fans have tried to do since they cut him. Oh, he didn't fit. Oh, he sucked. He wasn't any good. Well, he was serviceable.
People forget last year.
He certainly was not hurting the team.
People forget last year how much he played and how important it was.
He played a ton last year. Like before, again, he got suspended and then wasn't there when it mattered the most, right. Which is the huge risk you take when you bring on Josh Gordon onto your team. But let's not make it out to be that the guy was not a bad player who was not helping them. That drives me crazy. Like, the team let him go, therefore it was because he sucked and nothing else. Clearly, there was something else going on.
No, they let him go during a year where they've struggled in the passing game. And that says something. That says a lot.
So I'd be more inclined to believe what you're saying, which is, hey, they saw some patterns and some behaviors that they just didn't sit right with them, and they saw it go in the same place it went to last year.
I almost think the decision had nothing to do with football. I'm talking on the field.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me that something else was going on. But do you think the Patriots somehow look like good because he got suspended? Because I got a lot of that on Twitter because I've been asking the question, were you ever going to find out he made that great catch on Sunday?
Well, he made a catch on Sunday. There were a lot of people on Twitter like, oh,
why did they cut this guy?
Why?
Yeah.
Man, bam.
It's not because of his seven catches or however many he's had in Seattle since he left. No, people want to throw the stats at you like, oh, they're so right. But, well, no, it's about the guy's ability. And he obviously wasn't hurting the team and certainly at a position of real need on this team could have been helpful. But if this is what was going on, that they said things are going on off the field that are leading us to believe he's going down a bad road again, we don't want to do that again, well, then I'm totally fine with that. Totally legitimate reason to say we're going to have to go in a different direction. And once again, here we are wishing the best to Josh Gordon. Man, is football going to be good for him or bad for him? Who knows? You know, is it good that he's around the game? Yeah. Because it at least there's some semblance.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's
something to be doing every day.
I've heard this a lot.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think football is the best place for him. Everyone's different. Structure. Everyone's going to have different triggers and different things that push them in other directions. The example I used yesterday where there are bartenders who are alcoholics. Yep. It matters not to them where they are. They're either going to drink or they're not. For Josh Gordon, it may be the pressure of football that gets him back into this stuff. It may have nothing to do with it.
But also gives you structure every day. Football gives you structure.
He looked pretty good in the couple of times we saw him and heard him speak when he was here with the Patriots.
I didn't hear one negative thing about this player from any player. You watch the guys, even last year when he left, like, hey, Josh, we didn't forget you, man. You know, they would post, and the social media posting, and would he be there for the damn ring ceremony? Yes! He's part of your team. Hell, yeah, he's going to be there. The guys liked him. They liked him in Seattle. They liked him where he was prior. There's nobody that says, you know, and you play, and I tell you this, you played a lot of a-holes, you know, during your time. And he said, you know, this guy screwed up. Good riddance. Good for you. God deserved it. You don't get that from this guy.
So the statement by
everybody's rooting for this guy.
NFL
so says tells you something.
He was violated for breaking NFL policies, plural, on performance-enhancing substances and substances of abuse. So it was more than just the substances of abuse this time. There was something else that was taken during this period that was obviously leading to a PED test, too.
He's a little big. Big guy.
Yeah, you think there's a little bit of that juice?
I mean, a lot of it was
too?
Natural, though. I mean, a lot of that people thought was natural with this guy. He was always ripped. God. Some guys are just naturally ripped like that. Like a little bit of work they put in and boom, blow up. I was like that. Hit the bench a couple times, 2 weeks. Next thing you know, I'm pounding it just. Strong. Like, woo. I almost want to say that W word, but we're not doing that until we give tickets away.
Mm-hmm. Which word?
Mm-hmm. You know. I can't do it till we give tickets away. I told you I was going
to
keep quiet.
You promised not to say the woo-woo
until
11:30.
You can't say that. Now people are going to start calling.
Yes. So Josh Gordon is suspended by the league, and do you think he gets back? Do you think he gets another opportunity?
I don't. I think teams now are going to look at it and say, okay, like, been with the Patriots, winning team.
I think it's going to be because of that.
You go to the Seattle Seahawks, another winning team, a winning culture, different culture.
Although the PEDs is something else
PEDs
to consider.
Be like, yeah.
That's sort of a new department there.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. We got Bert Breer coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to Bert. He'll be with us. We got Brad Stevens today. And, of course, Patriots tickets twice, 11:30, 1:30. Do not miss it.
A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum.
I forget how
weirdest video
I'm
ever.
Two thumbs up
this.
On this.
You did this.
I love this.
You did the whole background on this.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see the glory, see the day of glory.
So they just told him, get in the room. Tell the story again.
Live in peace again.
You do your thing.
They showed up, Bing Crosby, David Bowie, to do this thing, and they said, just Drummer Boy song kind of sucks on its own. Can you give me anything else?
He went, rum-pum-pum-pum.
So they said, all right, you guys go to lunch. And the guys sat down and wrote all this extra stuff while they were at lunch, came back and said, okay, wait, sing it this way. With the whole, this, all this stuff that you're listening to now, they came up with on the spot.
It's pretty good.
You think? I mean, it may not be the best Christmas song ever. I love it. That video, you're right, Beatle, it's so weird.
Yeah, did you
it's
know
so
that
strange.
He admitted later, Bowie admitted that the only reason he did it was because he knew his mother liked Bing?
He didn't like it.
He didn't want to do it.
It was Ziggy Stardust. Yeah, why would he want to do it?
Because at that time, he was trying to transition out of the Ziggy Stardust stuff and trying to normalize.
Oh, become David Bowie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he did it because his mom liked Bing. And so he's like,
he's got a good voice.
Yep.
Who does?
David Bowie.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm just stating the obvious. You know what I'm now? My kid. You have the same freaking haircut as my kid. Now I got to get my kid another haircut.
You know that Crosby died 5 weeks after that. He was dead within like weeks of that happening.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, he died. Oh, like, I think 5 or 6 weeks later, he was dead.
That's a pretty little thing, isn't it?
I think it aired after Bing had died. I think it never hit TV until Bing was dead. I'll get the details on
you
this. It's got a million backstories to this one song.
And the video shoot and all that.
Yeah. I mean, the show is for Bing's show.
Yeah, Bing Christmas show.
Yeah, like his variety Christmas show.
You want to go down Creepyville Christmas? Go on YouTube and watch the Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra Christmas show specials.
Oh, yeah.
With the girls dressed up and got the cocktail glasses in. Like, hey, what's in your glass? Like those dudes, man. I bet those dudes.
Now, all I want to do is go back and watch the Bing Crosby or the Bing and David Bowie thing now.
Oh.
I even have a go at Walk Christmas.
Creepy, man. Those dudes, man. They had that Rat Pack, man. They had it rolling.
Is this supposed to be funny? Is this real? What's going on?
God, this song has its own Wikipedia entry.
It should.
Okay, so it was taped
to glory.
September 11th of 1977 in London is when it was taped. Now I got to click on Bing Crosby and find his date of death.
Is David Bowie a Brit? And he didn't sound like one.
Crosby died on October 14th, 1977. Not even 5 weeks later. I'm talking a month later.
A month and 3 days.
A heart attack.
Wow.
74 years old. He died in October. And then the Christmas special aired on November 30th in the U.S. and December 24th in London. He was dead before it even was on TV. He recorded it. He died. Then they put it on
TV.
You
know what? I remember this when I was a kid. It was like the biggest deal. Like you sit around, you watch TV. Like you're only watching one show because it's a tube TV and your grandparents.
Bing Crosby from Beyond the Grave doing a Christmas special.
Like that was big.
1977 when you had three stations to watch.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And if you had a tinfoil, you could maybe get GBH or whatever the hell that.
Yeah,
is.
You get public TV.
Look at that. It's Three Stooges.
Mr. Rogers.
All right.
Right?
Yeah. Three Stooges and Mr. Rogers. Yep.
I missed out on the flashlight discussion yesterday, fellas. But
you feel bad that you did, didn't you?
I do. Hardy said to me this morning, he said,
one of the oddest things that
there's something that went on here yesterday that you would have loved.
Oh. One of the sneakiest, weird things again coming out of Rhode Island. That, you know, how strange Jim's other side of his family is, the his wife's side.
Yeah.
And with all the plug-in stuff. His wife bought Jim one of those deer lights for when the power went out. Problem is, it is a plug-in.
We sell mag flashlight.
It's the deer light.
Old incandescent.
You got to go for Olight.
Lumens.
Either the Baton Pro or the S1R.
Stinger.
They'll throw a 2,000 lumen beam like 500 feet.
LED bulb that can be trained?
I think it's called the third gen.
It's the Streamlight Stinger.
Streamlight Stinger.
It's the Husky 3D 1,000 lumen.
5 million candle power.
It's a right angle flashlight.
The cops, the amount of cops.
This all went on yesterday?
I missed all of this? We had firemen calling in cops. I had cops texting me. Experts on this stuff.
I went next level last night, too.
I have a flashlight problem where I go into Lowe's or Home Depot, and if there's one like on an end cap where it's like, hey, 2-pack on a special for like 30, I'm like, oh, I need those. I inherited this problem from my dad.
Flashlights.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with having flashlights around the house.
I got them all over my house. There's flashlights everywhere.
Where's the real flashlight? And it all started when the dog keeps barking at something out in the back, and I go for the 3-cell mag light, and I'm like, you know what? I like the weight of this. I've had it for 20 years. There's got to be something better.
Oh, there is.
Are there things better? And I next leveled it last night because I went to that one place we were talking about.
Yeah, Bass Pro.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong about having a mag light in the truck or
under your seat just to beat the hell out of someone.
Yeah, here's why.
The
mag light seconds as something other than a flashlight.
Yeah, bat.
Which is why it's, you know, one to have in the glove box.
All right, Quincy.
You know, it's just something to have because it doubles as something else.
Beat the hell out of someone.
It's not just a flashlight. It serves multiple roles.
So
you need to smash a window, you got your mag light.
I'm not necessarily looking for camping gear, so I went to Steve's Tactical Store. I talk with Steve.
Is this an urgent need of yours?
No.
Well, you know how it is.
When you want old guy click things.
When you want something, Beetle.
You know, he gets stuff in his head.
It's urgent.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean. You get the itch.
It's all I can think about.
It's like you get what you pay for, itch. You know what I mean? It's one of those old guy things. No, I would have bought it.
No, Hardy and I are very similar in this fashion. It's a problem. It is.
So I went to, you know, this place near where I live last night.
Attacked Steve's.
Went and talked
to Steve.
Was Steve
there?
Oh, Steve was there.
And he probably knows more about flashlights than we'll ever know.
Do you want to talk Olight specifically with somebody? Go see Steve over in Stoughton. He'll tell you everything you
Stoughton
need to know.
Steve.
But now I got a decision to make.
Oh.
Do I get the Baton Pro? Do I get the...
You didn't walk out with a purchase?
Baton.
Do I get the Warrior? Oh, the Warrior's nice.
See, now we had the weirdos call yesterday. Like, what you want to do is set up trail cams out there for stuff. And I'm like, no, you don't. Because you don't actually really want to...
Oh, you don't want to know what's out there.
You want a light to scare whatever's out there. You don't want to, like, go through pictures and have something strange.
I don't even
want to
scare it. I just, every once in a while...
Then I went down a chupacabra.
Every once in a while, I want to throw 3,000 lumens at a distance of 250 meters and see exactly what's there with you know, decent throw, minimal flooding. What I'm looking for is a good quality torch. It's not a flashlight. It's a torch. That's what it is. But it's decision time. And yeah, the Stingers are real nice. You know, Streamlight makes a nice product. There's some nice ones out there, but I think I'm going Olight. I got multiple recommendations on that, including from Steve.
For the Baton?
The Baton Pro is...
Baton Pro.
The Baton Pro is nice. What's the other one I was looking at? Is it the Searcher or the Seeker? Seeker Pro 2? Yeah, Seeker 2. Seeker 2 Pro.
Oh, okay.
Then we had underwater flashlight.
It's on sale for another couple
Somebody
hours.
Somebody called people. In.
Should I just get two of them now?
Yeah.
Because you're already coveting the one that I don't even have yet.
And someone called to tell him to get the underwater one. The super duper one underwater. And like, what the hell? He's not underwater. He's outside. Like, no, just in case he drops it in a puddle.
Drop it. You're dropping it. It's wet outside. You want to make sure you're covered.
It's the Husky 3D 1000 Lumen.
That's a good segment.
Husky 3D 1000 lumens.
Seeker 2 Pro, that's 3000.
Yeah, that thing. That thing had like a hot dog written all over it. Like that thing could have taken off here. So we could have done 2 hours on flashlights.
Oh yeah,
easily.
But it was right up Beatles' alley.
So disappointed. I missed that. So disappointed. Well, I'm glad you're going all in on that.
Thank you.
Bert
Thank
Breer you. Is standing by. Bert's going to be with us in just a moment. We have your first pair of Patriots Bills tickets at 11:30.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.